Hello, hello, everyone. Welcome to the Desperately Seeking Self podcast. I am your host, Brooke Collins, and I am so glad that you are able to join us. This is coming out on August 2nd, Monday, August 2nd. Can't believe that it's already almost school year time. So things are cracking down for us in my house. I hope that you are doing well and enjoying the last bit of summer here. Today, I want to talk with you all about relapse and some reasons why relapse happens. And I think it's an important topic to discuss, mainly because it's a very common occurrence in the journey of sobriety or giving up alcohol, even gray area drinkers, sober curious people. Majority of the population will not just say, I'm giving up drinking and quit drinking for good. So I thought going over the idea of relapse, but not just the idea, more along the lines of looking at relapse as a process instead of an event. And I'll get to what I mean by that in just a second. I want to welcome you all here. Those of you that are on live with me, can you put in the chat box, if you've tried to quit drinking, have you been successful continuously? Meaning have you, when you, the date you quit drinking, like my last drink date, is January 22nd, 2012. And I have not had alcohol since that day. I have not had any other substances in my body since that day. So before January 22nd, 2012, for instance, I was on off and relapsing chronically. So let me know in the chat box if you were able to quit drinking for good without ever going back to it. Or if you struggle like I did with relapsing, guilt, shame, relapse, guilt, shame, relapse, guilt, shame cycle. kind of like a little rhyme. Let me see how many people. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. So don't be ashamed or feel guilty or shameful writing down this response. This is merely no, I have not, or yes, I have. I relapse is a personal ass kicker machine in itself. So just let me know if you've been able to quit on your own or if you've needed help or if you're not able and have not acquired continuous sobriety. Okay. Good. Okay. So the reason I said this is, so relapse is a process, you guys. It is not a one and done event. Like it's not, oh, I relapsed and that's the event. That's the thing. Here's the thing. Relapse is a process. So it's part of the journey. It is a choice. I want to be very clear about that it is a choice. Nobody has a relapse and is like, oh, I don't know what happened. I just had to drink as a knee-jerk reaction. Like unless somebody is strapping you down and taping a funnel to your mouth and guzzling liquor down your throat, relapse is a process and not a one-time event. Okay. And it's okay to think of it as a one-time event for now, but my goal today is to educate you on why it's a process and ways to maybe avoid the relapse altogether, or at least get a better understanding and better control so that the next time it does happen, you don't fall into this spiral and go down to the deep abyss of the shame train ride that never ends. So you need to look out for red flags and triggers before you even pour a drink. That's the process, right? We don't ever just drink as people who struggle with gray area drinking or people who struggle with alcoholism. It is a series of steps that we each take or that we don't take that lead to the episode of drinking, right? So it's a series of steps that we take or that we don't take that will lead to the drinking episode. So not doing the work and not taking care of your emotional well-being is one sure way to find yourself in a relapse. Okay. it are, if there are triggers, if you know certain triggers, if you know certain places are going to upset you and cause you to go into a resentful, bad space, then you probably should avoid that for a while until you've built a really solid foundation of sobriety. And that comes from doing the work. There's a shit ton of internal work to be done when you get sober. I will stress for the alcoholic woman that I'm speaking to right now, if you have alcoholism, if you believe yourself to be an alcoholic, you know, not picking up a drink is only the first component. Okay. There's deep work that needs to be done internally, and likewise for gray area drinkers. But the difference between the two is gray area drinkers, you're probably going to have an easier time not drinking and switching up your surroundings and hobbies off the bat, right off the bat. Whereas ladies who struggle with alcoholism, you're going to struggle just not drinking because the obsession is there. So, and the compulsion. So it's very important for you to remember, and this is who I'm really not wanting to focus on this show today, is when you quit drinking as an alcoholic, you need to focus mainly on my life is unmanageable because of alcohol. I'm powerless over the alcohol, and I'm just not going to drink for today. And you may stay there for an entire 6, 9, 12 months, and then you get to the work. But this is for people who are chronic relapsers. So you sort of know the basis, you've done some work, you've been on the journey, and here we are, can't hold it together or piece a long amount of enough of time without alcohol in drinking and then feeling bad about it. So anyways, your triggers, avoid those. I want to talk about romantic relationships real quick for everyone trying to quit drinking. I feel like these are huge triggers for a lot of people, and I'm going to tell you why. If you're getting into something too quickly and you're single, that can be a problem because you're going to get triggered with unresolved issues from childhood, and, you know, attachment issues are going to come up, and all of those things. Same with marriages or long-term relationships. When you make this choice, this doesn't mean that your spouse is going to make the same choice, right? And if you struggle internally with attachment issues or abandonment issues or unresolved childhood issues that cause your relationship to be, one-sided, where the, you know, you have a significant other who has to take care of everything for you because that's what your relationship is like, and they're taking responsibility for everything, and they're cleaning up after your messes. And I mean, figuratively and literally, but, you know, this is going to be a trigger for you when you quit drinking, because you will be a little bit more, I think, a little bit more edgy. You'll have a little bit more of a roughness to you because you're not numbing yourself out. You're dealing with things. So you might be a little irritable and maybe a little bitchy and maybe a little offstandish, pushing your significant other away. So I think when you make the choice to stop drinking, having these discussions with your partner beforehand would be extremely beneficial for those of you that are in a relationship, so that you guys know what to expect, sort of maybe talking to a therapist or to somebody, a specialist, a coach, someone who's versed on recovery or going into sobriety or giving up drinking or stopping certain habits, whatever it may be. That would be super helpful, I think. The next is, why? I guess it's so you have the right support system so that it's not a pathway to your relapse, right? Like waiting to have a person fill all the childhood voids or all the abandonment issues or all the attachment problems is a recipe for disaster, because nobody can fill that for you. Nobody can fill the childhood stuff that you need to deal with internally. Okay. Only you can do that. So recognizing that first and foremost. Looking for some way to change how we feel is why we usually relapse or why we're drinking in the first place. So let me explain. We have predictable and identifiable warning signs to when we're going to drink again. Predictable and identifiable signs when we are about to drink again. And it could be months before you actually drink. This is why a lot of times you find in a 12-step program like AA, a sponsor will say, I'm worried you're on the path to relapse, because behaviors come up that are old behaviors. And it's a sign that your brain is processing things in the addiction mode and you're headed down the wrong train track. And most people in these programs have seen it more than enough times to recognize the behaviors. And a lot of times you'll hear people in Alcoholics Anonymous say, after you quit the drinking, this is a thinking disease. It's more a thinking disease than a drinking or using disease addiction. It is a thinking disease. So I think one of the main things you can do is be gentle with yourself. And here, sobriety is a journey. Giving up alcohol is a journey. Being sober is a journey. It's a process, right? It's not just a one and done and check that off the list. It's a never ending journey. Okay. And relapsing is a sign that you've got to look at your strategy that you're utilizing to not drink and implement a different strategy, right? So here's reasons that we relapse. Pain is the first, right? So where there is pain, our brains are going to seek relief. This is an actual thing. Our brains do not want pain. They want to find pleasure. Our brains will take so much energy trying to find pleasure from a possible perceived pain than they will going through the pain. So if you look at the fact that our brains are wired to get away from pain and find the pleasure so that we're always in a moment of pleasure and ease, know that your brain is going to work against you sometimes when dealing with emotional traumas and things like that, that are buried below. Okay. It just is. It's a science thing. And I'm not super sciencey, but there are plenty of stats on it, I'm sure, if you research it. So when we look at pain, when we're in it, right, practically anything in our day-to-day life can be considered pain in our brains, from our brain's vantage point, okay? Things in life that cause us pain could be stress, jobs, kids, family, husband, finances, right? So once we feel the pinch of life's crap, we start to slide back into our old fugly behaviors, okay? These look like selfishness, resentment, manipulation. Pain is affecting our thinking, okay? And we have to remember this, because pain is a fleeting feeling. This is an important thing. Write this down. Pain is a fleeting feeling. You will not sit in pain forever. So even though you think that you need to anesthetize your whole body with drinking because of a stressful day, you need to remember that the pain that's coming up in that moment is fleeting and it is not going to last. And it won't last as long as you think it's going to last either. That takes work, obviously, and you got to take the time to get there, but it's recognizing that it's fleeting that's the most important for where you're at today. So our thoughts create our actions and our actions create change, right? Everybody knows that. If we learn to change our thoughts, right, what happens? We change the outcome. Isn't that interesting? If we learn to change our thoughts, we change the outcome. This is obviously not super simple for everybody, but even just knowing that there's a possibility that I can change the way that I'm thinking. And if I change the way that I'm thinking, I'm going to change the outcome for myself. Now, some of you might find that terrifying and be like, F this, I'm off. I'm hopping off of this meeting. But here's the thing. recognizing that our thoughts create our actions and our actions create our outcomes, and knowing that just by attempting to change the way we think about certain things, we are already putting the ball in motion to change the outcome, not even going through the minutia of the actions and the in-between and all that stuff. So you just thinking that you have the power and the capability to change your thoughts around the way you look at drinking and your relationship with drinking and your relationship with your thought patterns, humongous, humongous. So pain is the first reason that we relapse, right? Next up is fantasizing. So we fantasize often to relieve ourselves from the pain. Let me ask you this, and you guys can type yes or no. How many of you have been in a situation at your job where your boss is just a grind? It is exhausting to even think of being around your boss. They're riding your ass so bad. And you start sitting and visualizing actually telling your boss off and walking out the door with a big middle finger in the air, right? How many of you have done that? Most of us, right? Because when we fantasize that, we get relief from the pain, okay? Instantly, like that. So this is the moment, right, where you're freeing yourself from the pain. And the same thing goes for when we think of a drink. It will make it all go away, right? That's the reaction to the stress. God, I just need a drink and I'll feel so much better. Yeah. So ding, 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 ding. In that moment, guys, you disconnect from the reality and you start to slide backwards. In the moment of the thought, I'm just going to have a drink. I need a drink. It's going to make me feel better. You're sliding backwards from that moment on. If you don't learn to curb these thoughts and say, yes, but this moment's going to pass and it's actually not going to help me. I learned in AA to call it playing the tape through. So this is the time that playing the tape through of what a drink will do for you in for real, in reality, is where you would utilize that tool. Like for me, I have thought, especially with COVID in the last year, more so in the last year than I have in like 8 years. God, I wonder what would happen if I just went to the liquor store. I mean, like I dumpster fire. I would feel good for a minute, sure. But I would light a match to my entire life. I would jeopardize my marriage. I would jeopardize my relationship with my children and my parents. My support system would be crumbling, and I don't drink to have fun. I drink to die. That's my drinking pattern. You may not be as severe as me, and that's okay, but you may do really, really dumb things in your drinking that have you guilty and feeling remorseful and feeling ashamed of who you are and how you behave when you're drinking. And that's just, that's playing the tape through to those moments and those feelings. Okay. So recognizing all of that is important, right? We can choose to recognize and stop these thoughts right then by sharing them with someone, a friend, a supportive friend, a sponsor, if you've got that, a coach, whoever, and getting those thoughts out of your brain. Like, hey, I've really thought about drinking and it looked, sounded really good. And I was like romanticizing and I could actually smell the booze and feel the way that it's going to hit my body and make me relax. And that is a way to like get into the moment and step into the moment, being present with the fact that you're fantasizing about drinking. Okay. Next up we've got, let me see. Obsession. So if we let our fantasies go unchecked, that's when our old stage 5 clinger obsession comes in. Okay. You start to obsessively fixate and focus on the fantasy of drinking. So we become angry. We become resentful. My life would be so much better if that kind of thinking. And here, when we're in the obsession stage two, we're not thinking of the bad times. We've gone past the fantasy and we're in a whole new stage, and we're not thinking of the bad times and thinking the tape through. Like, we are actually remembering only the good times, the freedom, the relief, the fun. And honestly, in my mind, I just, and this may be, you can agree or disagree, but it's not even the drinking that was the good time for most of us. It's the youth, our youth, you know, when you have that freedom and you don't have any stressors and you feel free and you feel relief from things and you get to just let go and be wild and spontaneous and stupid when you're young, right? But when we're in the obsession stage, you're starting to get in a very dangerous place. And it's important to catch these thoughts and recognize that while you're romanticizing the alcohol and how it makes you feel and how everything's so much better and more fun with it, playing the tape through to what it actually does for you personally. For everyone, it's going to be different reason why. But playing the tape through to that shameful, remorseful, self-deprecating feeling is the way to sort of start moving back in the forward motion instead of backwards. Because after this comes up craving, right? Cravings come up after obsession. And this looks like strong memories of drinking and being drunk and craving the feeling. So it's important to distract yourself, because just like the feelings, cravings pass too. Remember, we talked about the feelings of pain. Just like those are fleeting, cravings are fleeting too, and they will pass. So something I suggest when you start to have the cravings and you start having memories and craving the feeling of being drunk is really just take yourself out of the moment and go for a run, go to the gym, go grab a book, go take a bath, go, you know, talk to a friend, just distract yourself for a certain amount of time and they'll be gone. The craving, it'll pass. So next up, we've got our decisions. Okay. When we are through the obsession and the craving, we go straight into the decision. And here's where we've surrendered to our higher risk behaviors and we've lowered the bar for ourselves. We've lowered it enough that we make the choice to drink because, well, we're already in it. We're already so low that the solution is getting hammered for us at this point. So you can see how this can take months for somebody to do this, but this can also be a quick cycle. I'll just keep that in mind too. Okay. So when we've made the decision and I've lowered the bar so low, our feelings are so tangled up that we feel like there's no way out. We have to have a drink and the only solution is getting hammered. Okay. That is not a good place to be. It's a very dangerous place to be. So then we follow our decisions up with our actions, right? And our actions create our priorities. For most of us, even the gray area drinkers, guys, once we have lost, once we drink, right, we've lost the power and in control in our life. Once we are drinking, even you gray area drinkers, because alcohol is a habitual addictive substance, whether or not you're a full-blown alcoholic or not. Once you have the alcohol in your system, you've lost the power of choice. You're in it, okay? It's the booze, liquor, alcohol, wine, whatever. It's controlling your life instead of you controlling it. It is. In that moment, it may not last. For you gray area drinkers, this may just be one or two days, but once you have it in your system, forget it. The alcohol is in the driver's seat and you're in the passenger seat. So buckle up, because more than likely it's going to be a painful ride. So after our actions in drinking, right, and being under the control of alcohol, Our favorite notorious duo is next, and that is Shame and Guilt. The next day, they are raging. Shame and Guilt just rocking out with one another in your mind, tearing you down, knocking you down, hating yourself, negative thoughts. And here is why I think guilt and shame is important to talk about, because these two keep you in the perpetual relapse cycle, because you really think like, God, I'm so awful. I'm so awful. I already did this. I might as well just stay here. Instead of, I did this and I'm going to fix it. I did this and I'm going to stay here. So here's how we negate that, right? Because you don't want to stay there over and over feeling guilty and feeling ashamed of yourself and your behavior and getting in that zone. Okay. So it's time to put the ass kicking machine down and accept responsibility. This is not an easy one, but it's a very necessary thing, part of the relapsing or the drinking cycle. Okay. You need to accept responsibility. You need to accept that you made the choice to drink, that you chose not to look at the red flags and the warning signs that you could feel were coming, and accept responsibility for the choice that you made. Next up is acting ASAP. So here's the thing. We think all or nothing, most of us that struggle with a relationship with alcohol, it's like all or nothing. Oh, fuck, I'm in it. So I'm just going to keep drinking. Or, oh, I'm not doing it. I'm like a health nut, right? So you have to accept that you've not gone back to the very beginning of this journey, that you've only made one little step backwards. Okay. You're not like way in the back, you know, like you are just one little step back, and it's time to go back and start again and start dealing with the feelings and looking at the things that you did, analyzing what your behaviors and your triggers were before you decided to make the choice to drink. Next is letting go of negative thoughts. Okay. Let go of the thoughts that no longer serve you. Actively try to let go of the thoughts that no longer serve you, the negative thoughts, shit talking yourself, and get rid of them and start looking at things that do serve your purpose and do make you feel fulfilled, and focus on those thoughts, right? Get back into the sober grind. Okay. Here's the most important piece of this whole episode today. You do not have to sit in the relapse or the shame. Okay. It's an event. Like I said, in the very beginning of the episode, right? It's a process. Relapse is an entire process unto itself. Okay. It is not an event. So what you need to do is look at this, the action, the choice to drink was the event. Okay. Now I'm not going to sit in this and victimize myself and hate the world and hate myself and sit and just drink and drink and drink. I'm going to make the choice to say, I'm going to take the action to look at why I didn't stop myself four paces ago, or what was the cause of where I wanted to sit and what was I looking to escape and anesthetize? Okay. What was I trying to numb out? Why was I trying to numb that out? What am I having trouble processing with this that I'm trying to numb myself from feeling any of it? Right? Look at the overwhelm, look at the stress, look at your relationships, look at your communication styles, all of these things. And here's the most important part in all of it. It doesn't have to define you, the relapsing. It doesn't need to control you. You just need to know that at the base of the relapse, it is your choice. Okay. That's a hard pill to swallow for a lot of people, but it was your choice to drink. You made the decision. Nobody, unless again, you're taped with a funnel to your mouth and someone's pouring booze down your throat, you made the choice. So let's figure out why you thought that that was the answer to the problems that you were dealing with and what feelings you were trying to like obliterate and numb out. That's where the magic happens. Okay. This is all part of spiritual development and growth and, you know, healing inner personal trauma and childhood trauma. Like all of this stuff is all part of the journey. So hopefully you are able to get back on track and get yourself to where you want to be. But alcohol is like that relationship that you just, you keep going back to, even though you know it's bad for you, right? For a lot of us, keep going back to, even though you know it's not the answer, it's not going to help, it's going to make things worse, but you just can't help yourself. So time to look at why we just can't help ourselves. What is it that we're not dealing with ourselves? Is that helpful? Yes? Okay, good. I just want to say that I have watched someone relapse in the last 2 weeks, hospitalized, detox, and get to a treatment center. And I have never met anybody whose drinking was quite like mine. We all have our own unique stories, right? But this was like looking in a mirror at myself a decade ago. The pain, just the overwhelming pain and feeling of hopelessness, and seeing someone who doesn't think that they're worthy of good things. It's been hard for me. And also I've been able to find the gratitude in it, for where I've come in my life and how much I've changed my thoughts around alcohol so that my actions don't equal me ending up in a hospital bed with a 0.399 blood alcohol level. So wherever you are, whatever you're going through, your thoughts create your actions, and actions are what create the outcome. You are worthy of good things. You are worth it. People love you, and you have support. And if you don't have support where you're at, then please reach out to me, lifecoachbrooke@gmail.com, and I can either plug you in with free communities or I can talk to you about my services, whichever. But know that you are not alone in whatever it is you're going through, even if you feel like you are. Even if you feel like nobody will ever understand what you're going through, you're not alone. And that's the stuff that you need to share so that you can get healthy and you can create the life that you always dreamed that you'd be living and not feel guilty or ashamed or like shit anymore. That was deep. So I hope you all have a wonderful week, and I will see you here next week, same time, same place. I will link in the show notes my website. I will link my sober course waiting list, and I will link, you know, all my socials and my email and how to get in touch with me. So I hope you guys have a great week. I will see you next week.